5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I thought the Swans would be good in the wet.
Put moron number two on the phone.
This was almost sad, isn't it?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Well, of course you're listening. Everyone does, and especially on Thursday, Bill.
Oh, yes, please.
Damien Barrett in here.
Oh,
lots of, yes, lots of footy to discuss with Damo. And then the second hour, the top flight.
Oh, yes, please.
Back from the United Kingdom after being the MC at her sister's wedding.
That's right.
And we think there might be some audio.
We need audio.
Of what she went to, with at a high society wedding in London.
Oh,
so
no.
We're looking forward to that. There's a bit of topics. We've got Jude Bolton on a little later on because big game, of course, Western Bulldogs, Sydney tonight.
Righto.
Hello to you, Willis.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day, you, Leroy.
I think you know why you're here, so I'll do us both the courtesy of not reviewing what happened yesterday.
What one's that off?
That's a judge from Caddyshack.
Yes. Oh, Jim's favourite. He loves Caddyshack.
Yep.
Jim, I tell you what, there's something I've got here that is very ironic.
Oh. Oh, no.
And isn't it ironic?
Is that what you wanted?
Fair dinkum, Leroy.
Is that what you wanted?
Fair dinkum, Leroy.
Did you try and put some radio craft?
Oh, mate.
Did you try and patch something together then?
Old buttons, Leroy.
Oh,
fair dinkum.
No.
He's as slow as
what
a 230 tram.
What are we dealing with?
230 tram.
Oh, no.
Jim,
go
I've got
again,
something.
Go
it's very ironic.
And isn't it ironic?
Oh. Well, that was better. You know what happens? Who's playing tonight, Jim, please?
Yes. Western Bulldogs, Sydney.
Last year's grand finalist.
That's it.
You know who else plays tonight in the NRL?
Melbourne Storm.
And the Sharks.
Cronulla Sharks.
Last year's grand finalist.
Oh.
Both playing footy tonight.
Yes.
Now that is very...
Isn't it ironic?
Is that ironic, the strict sort of interpretation of the word, or is that more of a coincidence, Bill?
Well, there's no song that's got, isn't it a coincidence? Actually, it's probably a coincidence, Jim.
Probably a bit more of one, I would have thought.
That's why I was hesitant.
Oh. I don't, your buttons, geez. Fair dinkum, that's twice now. One more chance you got. Now, what about the basketball, Jim?
Yeah,
the
NBA. No, well, we did say it.
Yeah, well, I did say it because you go for the other mob, but the Warriors too good.
Yep.
The Cavs led for the whole game except for the last 45 seconds, Jim.
Yep.
45 seconds left on the clock. They're up by two still.
Yep, and then KD.
KD, bang.
Bang.
And then a couple of two. Yeah.
Well, Bill, I did say I thought my mob were in all sorts with this particular series. In fact, it might be a four zipper now.
I think so.
Yep.
118-113. LeBron, equally 39, Jim.
Yeah.
And Irving, 38. So those two rowing the boat.
Rowing their side
that was
of the
it. There's only two rowing.
The other mob had better, Bill. They're just better. And in fact, the more you think about it, the more it was a miracle that Cleveland managed to get over the line
last year,
given who they were playing against.
Exactly.
So I don't think that's got many legs left. Tell me,
yep.
Can Australia have a washed-out game against England in the Champions Trophy, Bill?
Yes, Jim.
And then be eliminated from the tournament having not finished a game?
Well,
is that possible?
That is possible. And they can also go through. Because if they get washed out or it's a tie, Jim, Australia has to hope the winner. So then New Zealand and Bangladesh play, because they're in the Bangladesh play, Jim. And hopefully it's not a huge net run rate.
Oh, no.
Because then they will go ahead of Australia.
Imagine all of the logistics and money and time to send a country's team all the way to a tournament in England only to have three games washed out and they're eliminated without being able to finish a game.
Well, Jim, they're 2 points at the minute.
On.
England are on top. England have been good for us because they've won both games. They're on top. And then the Bangers and New Zealand are only on 1 point, Jim. So hopefully if they do, it's washed out, which we hope we don't.
Nice.
It'd be nice to see someone get a hit.
Oh, of course it would.
Chris Lynn or someone. They've been waiting there for 2 weeks, Jim.
Exactly.
Padded up. He's still padded up.
They're just out on the golf course this morning, I was.
Oh, how'd you hit him?
BJ Goddard.
Yes.
Michael Choi, very fine professional player.
Yeah.
The old enforcer and myself.
How'd the Foss hit him?
About as well as I did.
Oh, no good.
No good either of us. Very, very pedestrian.
BJ?
Okay.
Is he off scratch? Or?
Yeah, scratch. But not as I've seen him play better. But Michael Choi, you can understand how these blokes play for a living.
Yeah.
He took the piss.
Yeah.
I think you end up 5 under or something.
Oh,
it's honestly like shelling peas.
Who's the great golfer, Choi? KJ.
Oh, KJ, Chari, KJ. The Korean from he probably has fallen away a bit now, but he has been a great golfer over the time. Yeah. But
KJ.
Anyway, Bill, Metropolitan, magnificent golf course. Thank you very much for having
nice,
us.
Nice, Jim.
Poor Bill.
Do you lose balls? You very good players.
I lost one ball. I lost one ball.
Does
today.
BJ lose a ball?
Don't think so. No, they're real good ones.
Does Choi?
No. No, they end up with the ball. Oh. They start with those blokes.
Oh, Bok Choi.
Now, Bill, we need to get to a break because we don't touch on footy in this first one today.
No, exactly. There's a reason.
Yeah, Damo's coming in next. We want to know everything that's going on in the AFL.
Damien Barrett joining us.
Yes, hello to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim and Bill.
We were
and
just discussing irony before and things that are ironic.
Ironic.
The actual definition of it is happening in a way contrary to what is expected and typically causing wry amusement because of this.
Well, that's it, Jim.
So certainly the first half could half apply because what Bill was saying is the two finalists from last year, grand finalists in the rugby league and the AFL play this round. And he said, that's ironic.
No, play tonight, Jim.
Yeah, I said, I'm not sure if it's not more of a coincidence.
Or a quirk.
Or even a quirk.
Oh, so you're saying quirk now?
I'll go with quirk.
Happening in a way contrary to what is expected.
Isn't it quirky, my friend?
Oh, come on, you flog. Hey, now, huge news for the Brisbane Lions.
It is, Bill.
That
it
is big. Tell them what's happened.
That Josh Shackey has decided to stay for 2 years, having spent pretty much 3 months indicating he was going to leave. And
the last 2 weeks in Victoria.
The last 2 weeks in Victoria, where it was basically down here because he was homesick and he was told to by the club to go and clear his head, and he clearly has and has gone back. Just that the backdrop to it, as we had said a couple of times, Jim, in the past maybe month, the market had cooled for him. Yep. It hadn't gone away, don't get me wrong. He would have been very much sought after, but the numbers that they were initially thinking they were going to get financially just weren't going to be there. But there was no indication even as recently as yesterday from the people within Brisbane that this was imminent, let alone let alone done today. So it's good because with Chris Fagan there, while they've won their first game, they've lost their matches since, but you can just see something happening there, can't you? And it's good that they've got their number two draft pick from 2015.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have thought if he was looking to return home, and clearly he isn't because he signed. If he was looking to return home, I wouldn't have thought money would be the motivating force for him anyway. He just would have been, I want to return to a different environment and have another crack at relaunching my career. When you're that age, money's not what's driving any potential change.
I don't know about that. Drives quite a few people.
But I mean, whatever he signs for, if he came down here and played for Carlton, was going to be fine.
And it was going to be more than what he's probably stayed for.
I wouldn't have thought it was a money-driven decision. I would have thought it was more, look, I want to go to Melbourne, I want to play in a different environment and see if I can reboot myself. Mm. Anyway, he hasn't, so well done, and it's good for the Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, it is.
They've got some young kids there. Maybe they all have got together too, Hipworth and
Hipwood.
Who?
Hipwood.
He's a real talent,
isn't he? He's worth a lot, that's awesome.
Harris English. They've got some...
Harris English?
No,
Andrews.
Harris Andrews.
They've got some bloody good players.
No, I think they have.
I like
their... Yeah, there's a spine there. There's a good spine there, if they can get it going. I mean,
Harris
just with,
English on the PGA Tour.
We're all over it, Jim. Brisbane tackle.
Yes.
Just with the re-signing too, he's going to end up playing NEAFL this weekend, which is his last appearance on a footy ground was a NEAFL appearance, which was only a four disposal output. So his form has been of a real concern. Missed the early parts of 2017 and then just has not hit his straps. But there's enough, I feel, we saw last year to think that he's still going to be okay, but long way away from where Wiedering was. Because the debate going into that draft was Wiedering or Shackey. Well, Wiedering went one, Shackey two, and there's a gulf between what they've displayed to this point.
But big blokes take longer, and I think it's a great result.
Very good for them. It is very important.
Other big news out of today, too, is that Nathan Buckley, Collingwood coach, has confirmed that Callum Brown will be playing on the Queen's birthday game, which I think is great, isn't it? It's basically 30 years and a few weeks to the day since Gavin Brown made his debut, Bill, the father of Callum. And it's just a great story, isn't it? The fact he was drafted last year alongside, Dacos as well as one of the father-son players. And it's only taken him half a season to get in. He's a 19-year-old, Jim. They say he goes very, very nicely. I know you're reasonably close with Gavin in terms of the North Melbourne connection. And as an assistant coach is where Gavin still is. So it's a good story, isn't it? To declare it too on the Friday before the teams come out that he's in.
I bet you he's quiet. You like Gav, but he'd be hard as a cat's head. You'd love to have him around your club. Yeah. So Buck said that Elliot will miss anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks.
1 to 4, yeah. They just don't know. It's similar to what he did with the ankle earlier in the year, so they just can't put a time frame on it. The worry, though, is the 4 weeks they've already identified for Daniel Wells being a calf, and it's a again, just to use the footy terminology, it's an old man's injury, this one. And as we know, he's already had a few of those old man injuries to this point of his career. So he's in a bit of strife now, I would have thought, for the back half, because you couldn't now go in with confidence that he's going to get through. So he hasn't stood up to his first campaign with the Pies. And for Solo, most likely to be playing, Bill, just there, probably... You know, reserve a right to still use the time frame between now and Monday to absolutely sign off on that being the case. But it's actually in keeping with the statement they made 2 Mondays ago when they did go public with the mental health issues that he's clearly suffering.
All right, we need to talk sledging next because this game, Queen's Birthday, is just shaping up beautifully for mine. Yep. Nothing I love more than two mobs that don't like each other purple.
Two good players within their peaks of their powers, that's Bernie Vince and Taylor Adams, going at each other and not backing away, but doing it in context too, and no one's taking them out of context.
And other sledging too.
We'll have a look at that next. Purple with us.
Purple.
And purple. There's been some yin and some yang around Melbourne and Collingwood, Queen's Birthday, Taylor Adams, Bernard Vince, our man. Oh, I love it. I love all of this. This is right in my sweet spot.
Oh, it is. And I love these two guys too. I reckon they both present really, really well, and they're both playing really, really well. Both had very good careers at this point anyway. And it's over Lyndon Dunn, of all people.
Yes.
Bernie Vince made some comments Taylor Adams made some comments about Lyndon Dunn.
15, love.
And then, as you know, as you're about to hear, it's now 30 all, Bill.
Well, and obviously he's played a lot of footy. Hasn't been part of a real successful club, and I just get the feeling that he just loves being here, at Collingwood. Sort of giving him a spring in his step.
What's he at a successful club now? Is he?
Apparently.
Okay. It's the first I've heard of it, but yeah, we might be able to use that one. I guess as a bit of motivation. Not sure what he's done at Collingwood yet, though. But.
I'd be very surprised if it was used. As a motivational factor for them, but I would like to see more of it, to be honest. Probably added a little bit of fuel to a already quite big burning fire.
I think the latest was he said to our record speaks for itself, and I did check, and we won the last three against Collingwood, so I'll return serve to him.
Actually, it might be 40-15, Jim. I think Bernie's got him.
Well, Burns a bit more of a seasoned campaigner. I think Taylor will get to Burns' level at some stage, but he hasn't had quite as many laps around the block.
How good is it, though?
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
They're not scared about it. They've both gone in again after
the
first time blew up.
Good
on them. And everyone, I think, importantly, has taken it within the context in which it has been delivered. No one's trying to beat it up that it's anything other than this. Also, your boy too, Bill, in Scotty, the sledging matters. Yeah.
I'll tell you what was good. I'm not sure if I've got this on audio. Of course you haven't. but Daisy Thomas. No, buttons over there, fanning him. Get here goes number two. Daisy Thomas come out and said one of his best sledges ever was to Scott Selwood, Jim, when he was playing with the West Coast Eagles. He said, we were winning and I was playing all right. And he was tagging me in the last quarter and I think I just kicked a goal. And I said, oh, well, mate, four brothers. One of you had to be the worst.
Oh, no.
Daisy said that to Scotty.
Yes.
So they played that to Scotty last night on the footy show, and then come back to him, and Scotty Selwood said, or someone said, will you tag him again? Scotty Selwood said, not sure where the Northern Blues are playing this weekend. Oh.
And then Thomas went around again.
And then Thomas
today.
Went around again. Yeah, so that's on too.
That's good. Also, Bernie Vince, now you started a trend, Jim, a couple of years ago when you got the person who was on the footy show that night they did the live cross to Chompers. Tony Jones in the Nine newsroom.
Who didn't like
to
it.
To sign off with Chompers. Yeah, and then that was put an end to, and then everyone was told you can't do
it. There's emails going around.
Well, last night, Bernie Vince reintroduced the sign off in a very different way.
All right, we'll keep stirring the possum. I'm sure you will on the footy show tonight. We'll see you then, Bernie. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tony. Oink.
Good on you.
Oink.
What's with the oink?
Well, I don't think TJ's taken too kindly to it because I think he thought it was the noise that a certain animal makes. But to give Bernie his due, Jim, and I don't know whether I think we can take this to the bank because Bernie, I did ask him and others did too, what did he mean by that? And he reckons it's a word that Melbourne players use when something happens. Like if they're playing golf and a putt goes in, it's a oink.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he said.
Or a really good drive, they all go oink.
I see. Well, speaking of Melbourne,
I'm buying that.
I know that we've had a little bit of a focus on them here, but we love them, so who cares? Hot breakfast this morning, Jack Viney, who we love, the co-captain, talking about the cool group that exists within the Melbourne Footy Club. He goes, I'm not in the cool group. That's Bernard.
Yes. His dad would have been, though.
Exactly right. Yeah. The Pig Hibbard,
yep.
Which I find hard. He's your bloody Frankston Bogan. Jack Watts, cool. I get. Geordie Lewis, I get. Maxie Gawn. Come on, Maxwell.
Oh, he's in there.
How are you sliding in there? They're a bit of a clique. They walk around thinking they're better than everyone.
Petraka, Jim?
Yeah, he's trying to get his way in. He can't wear his... Billy Stretch and Clayton Oliver, no chance.
Dom Tyson would be in there, wouldn't he?
He'd be doing his best. Yeah. Not Angus Brayshaw. He's got a nerd sort of streak in him. But anyway, I do love the fact that there is, of course, there is at every footy club.
And there's no Brayshaw that would be in the cool group, would there, Damien?
Well, we keep getting told there isn't a Triple M group. There is.
Just ask him. His father had nothing cool about him in his 52 years and still doesn't it.
And his uncle.
Yeah, exactly. And Uncle Bertie's bringing nothing to the table over here in Bridgetown. What else
The Danaher's last night.
Good were they?
They were unbelievable, of course. Neil runs it all. He tells Terry to put it. Terry walks in. And a pair of shorts and a high-vis top.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
Chris flew in for the occasion.
Chris flew in
Anthony
from Wagga.
And that ad was so funny, wasn't it, from way back?
El McFeast sang it. That was funny. That was very funny, but very good. And it's great to see every club have got the beanies on.
Yeah.
And I think he spoke at Collingwood this morning, Neil Danaher.
Did he?
And every club they're sending in on Twitter, they've all got the beanies on.
They've nearly sold out of a huge allotment of the beanies this year, Jim. It's 50, there's about 10,000 left, or probably even less now.
What an amazing job Neil's wife and daughters do.
And daughter Beck.
Isn't it just incredible? Yeah.
Beck's a spokesperson now, isn't she?
Did a really good job last night.
Nuts. They're brilliant people.
Tippett axed for tonight's game, the Swans player, which was coming, but it hadn't happened until John Longmire released that team last night. Tom Boyd out. Did learn, Jim, that he had an MRI during the week on, well, I'm presuming the back that they declared was the reason for his omission for tonight's game. So, obviously, something's going on there.
Yep.
An MRI on the Wednesday, I think it was, during the week. Maybe the Tuesday or Monday, but he has got some work on that.
I would love to know, since round one of last year, what sort of a sample are we talking for the Western Bulldogs? Because they played all 4 weeks of the finals.
Yep.
So that's 27. We're talking about 37 games, let's say, round about that,
yep,
they've played since the start of life. I don't reckon they've had the same team once in those 37 weeks.
Yeah.
They throw their team around more than any club in the comp, the Western Bulldogs, and don't give us stuff.
No, and the fact that there's been a, by choice, outcome where 9 premiership players have not played in a game this year, but by choice, by the coach, it's extraordinary what he's doing.
It's nuts, isn't it?
It is. I love it because it's clearly keeping everyone on their toes, aren't they? And even when you see this great story of Mitch Wallace coming back into the team, and yet his great mate Liberatore goes out at the same time he comes in, and the fact that he's now going into the VFL for a third week in a row, I wouldn't be leaving him there too much longer because of just the way he's wired. But
that's not costing him, though.
It's not.
It's supposed to hurt you, isn't it? By not having a you're supposed to have a side that's the same.
Settled.
20,
settled stable.
Side.
Yeah.
But it's not hurting him.
Well, that's
him
been
at all.
The traditional argument, hasn't it? But there's not too much that Luke Beveridge has done that's gone by the books by way of tradition in AFL, and it's been to his credit. Jared Harbrow, who we knew during the week, had been picked up for drink driving the morning after having a drink. There'll be a further sanction to him delivered either today or tomorrow, Jim, by way of it being increased, I believe, from the one game they've already declared to at least 2, possibly 3, but there'll be community programs attached to it as well as probably some form of financial sanction as well.
These 4 weeks of buys, what do you think? The China game obviously made it 4 rather than 3. Do we sort of lose our way a bit, or does it not matter?
It's funny you ask the question because we in the media, I think, look at it differently to the general person in the street. We look at it as a collective of 9 games traditionally per weekend, and we see there's only 6 and 7 in some of these weekends. I think the AFL gets exactly what it wants out of it. Every team gets the bye at a time it needs it. It can still drip feed the games in the key slots that they like to facilitate. And while you get to the end of the round and there's a couple of games less to talk about as a collective, it's the clubs themselves, I know, do like it, given that's the situation they're now faced with.
All right, Purple, we're seeing you, of course, the Friday Huddle.
Friday Huddle.
That we did nicely in the Raiders.
Very nicely.
Beautiful Friday night. And then, it's a Saturday from middays are given. Just
What do you got this week?
This is laughable.
What have we got with Bristol this week? Who we got?
Well, all I hear is that the Vault Saturday, we say this every week. I don't hear them, Bill, until I go to air.
We choose not to, Bill.
I never hear them until I go to air, but my mail is this week is the best of the lot.
Oh, no.
That's a big call, isn't it?
And that is extraordinary, given there was a motorcycle rider last week that Bristol's interviewed, a stunt rider.
Stunt.
And he's basically gone with a minute and a half question about what power bike he's riding and what how far the jump is and all the rest of it. And at the end of the whole question, the bloke said, no, we're not using motorcycle.
He said, I only do the wire.
Come on, bro.
Not even on a motorbike.
Oh, how much research have we put into him, do you reckon?
Oh, too much.
Too much.
And then he tried to get the entirety of the research out in the first question. And by the time he finished
how's
the first
he going question, with him? Is he getting a bit shirty or is he
a little bit?
I think he likes it.
But no. I'm telling you now, they are gold and they're just getting better and better. So if you haven't heard the Vault, 12 o'clock Saturday, Triple M, make sure you do. See you there, Purple.
See you then, Jim.
I like this story, Jimmy boy.
Go on.
Father and son buy a historic town for 663,000.
What?
Population of 15 only, this town, Jim.
Where?
Snapped up by father and son for just 663,000, located just 6 hours from Denver.
Oh, right.
Very popular with the motorcycle routes throughout there. They all go through the town.
Yes.
It includes the main strip, a gas station,
yes,
post office and cafe, and there's a store. It's all there. It's called Aladdin, by the way, the town,
yes,
bought by Judy. It was owned originally by Judy and Rick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The couple bought the town 28 years ago.
Oh.
We bought this place because I had an empty nest syndrome, says Judy. All our kids had gone to college.
Yes.
So my husband bought me a town.
Gave her a town.
Bought her a town, Jim,
in
if you
States,
don't mind.
Called Aladdin.
Called Aladdin. So 133353,
hands.
What weird gift have you been given, Jim?
Oh, really?
What weird gift have you been given?
A town is a weird gift. There's no doubt about that. I was given a wooden dunny seat once.
A wooden dunny seat?
Yep.
Did you ever use it?
Well, we had, to be fair to the gift giver, we had one of those houses that had that ornate sort of gold door handles, and it was that sort of ornate old sort of joint tessellated tiles and all the rest of it.
Yeah, nice.
So I could half understand it, but still. When it came, Bill, I thought it was a little weird.
It is weird.
A wooden dunny
seat.
I
bet you never used it.
No, I don't remember using it. But anyway, that's the weirdest thing I've ever been given, I think.
Mm. Shane Crawford gave me a quaddy ticket for my 50th, Jim, because he didn't. He just straight six for the Saturday fields races and a quaddy.
Well, he also gave me something weird for a housewarming my last house.
A dildo.
Yeah, that's it. Shaped as a banana.
That's right. Yeah.
Which my kids ended up thinking wasn't what it was and were bashing themselves over the head.
He is weird.
That's what happens to that little man.
Yeah.
There's something properly wrong with him. Anyway, have a look at him come for.
Oh, Jimmy, 133353. What weird gift did you get? What weird gift have you been given, Jimmy? That's
thank you, Bill.
105.1 Triple M's Rush Hour with James Brayshaw and Topics Brownless.
We're having a conversation between each other, which we're allowed to do. Given it's our show, we can do whatever the bloody hell we like.
Just talking about weird gifts.
We are.
Yeah,
strange things you've been given, because this lady received a town in the States from her husband.
From her husband, Aladdin, a town, population of 15, Jim, and the husband said, here you go, doll.
Have that. I was given a wooden dunny seat.
Yep.
And Daniel from Diamond Creek, what were you given, please?
Yeah, I'm a primary school teacher, and I was given a pair of what the kid called tiger eyes, and they were crystals.
Oh.
Oh.
Like, as in marbles that you'd play with, or actual crystal stones?
So, well, apparently his mum was into the whole crystal business and told me they had special powers, and they were going to help me feel better and do all this sort of jazz. Oh. So he walked in with a couple of rocks, pretty much, and said...
Did you ever watch that Peter Brock movie, Jim? He had crystals in his motor.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And he wouldn't take them out. He was huge on the crystals. Some girls are. I love them.
Will's in Kings Park, Bill.
Willie.
G'day, boys.
Free Willie. What happened, mate? What weird gift did you even get?
My brother last year received, he's about 200 kilos.
Oh.
He was given a hula hoop as a Kris Kringle present.
How'd he go with the hula hoop?
There's no way he'd fit inside it.
Oh, no.
How big is he really?
He's at least 200 kilos.
Oh, no. He can't be 200,
big
Will.
Boy.
Jeez.
How big are you, Willie? Greg.
Me? I'm 1'5".
That's Will, Bill. Yeah. Greg's the next caller.
I'm writing them down.
How is he going?
I'm like, writing seriously. Them down, Jim.
Fair what down. Are we dealing with? Oh. Let's get to Greg. He's in Moorabark, Bill.
Hey, Will.
Oh.
Greg.
Would it be easy if I changed my name here, Bill?
Seriously,
how
Greg.
How about you, Greg?
I'm 150,000 ton, mate.
You sound it. What weird gift, buddy.
Mate, I got, at the age of 14, I got, I received from my fantastic tight ass uncle a stretchy tight end for the trailer to keep us from flying out at the age of 14. I'm going, what the hell is that? I looked at it and I just didn't know what it was. Oh,
that's
stretchy
funny.
Stretchy tight end at 14, Jim.
That's it.
What's he going to do with that?
He probably didn't even have a trailer. You know,
his uncle would have got that for a present, so he just handed it on, Jim. That happens a lot.
You have that, Greg.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam's in Langwarrin, eh, Ads? Uh-huh.
Fat, skinny.
We're talking about weird presents you received, Ads.
My 21st birthday of my grandparents, I got a box with all those little soaps and hair shampoos and stuff you get from the airplane and, you know, your motels.
No way.
So they've...
and a box that was a used first aid kit.
Come on,
so, come on, Greg.
They're not even trying. They could, grandfather.
21st birthday, you'd fork out a bit of money.
A little bit more than that, Bill. Anthony's in out there.
St. Helena, Jim. You know where St. Helena is?
No idea.
Neither do I. Okay, Ant.
Yeah, it's near Greensboro, actually. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, north.
Yep, that's right. So I actually got a metre square plot of land in the boglands in Scotland given to me. And the reason for that is because I can legally be called a lord now because I'm a landowner in Scotland.
Fair dinkum. Who bought you that?
My mum.
Oh, so you're a lord, Saint.
Yeah, Anthony. So I'm a lord, the Lord of St. Helena.
Nice.
Have you ever seen the land?
No, I haven't actually been over there and seen it. There was a running joke where we bought some like plane tickets or train tickets or something, and I called myself a lord on them. When I was buying the ticket, so the ticket was printed up as Lord. So my mum took it a bit seriously and went and, made me an actual Lord.
I got a mate. He lives in
Blue.
Perth. No, he's actually one of my brother's great mates. When they played the last game ever at Vicky Park, Collingwood, because he's mad Collingwood, he went out there and dug himself and took it back to Perth on the plane.
Took the dirt
back? Yeah. He had a little plastic bag and he took about 10 inches by 10 inches of Vicky Park back to Perth.
Wowee.
That's what you call a nuff-nuff.
Actually, they're selling carpet from the old MCG long room, weren't they?
I don't know.
Little bits of carpet. I reckon you could buy them.
Not the bull ring.
No, not the bull ring. That was just alcohol.
You could just stick that on the wall and exactly. It'd stay there. Michael's in Roeville, Mick.
Mickey boy.
Hey, fellas. How we going?
What did you get?
Me and my lovely wife got married a few months ago and we did the wishing well thing.
Yeah.
And instead of someone putting cash in the well, they actually gave us the wishing well.
A wishing well? Well, wee, what do you do with a wishing well?
What do you do with a wishing well?
No, you know the little cages that you put money in?
Yeah.
The weddings?
Oh, so they gave you one of those. They thought you had to, they had to give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. That's what they thought.
Well, I just looked at Leroy and he had no idea what he was talking about. So.
Honestly, we have got a holiday coming up. I reckon it's in about, what are we, it's in about 3 weeks.
Some people out there would be thinking, what's Michael talking about, Jim? I'm just for the ordinary person out there.
What did you do? Explain it for
me? I'm explaining it, Jim. Yes, so I am. A lot of people wouldn't know what he was talking about.
So what was it, Bill?
I think
it's a wishing well, a cage that you put money into at a wedding.
Yeah.
And you put money.
Which is what Michael said.
And he got it. Anyway, prizes.
Oh, no.
I've nearly had enough of you two, though. Incompetent. That's what you are. Both of you. Both of you can get stuff.
Incompetent.
Both of you.
Write that down, please.
Which one did you like, Jim? I like the hula hoop. Willie.
Yeah,
Willie
funny.
In Kings Park. Go, hey, Willie.
G'day, guys.
Melbourne Collingwood tickets or the Vixen tickets, netball?
Probably go the Collingwood tickets.
Don't take your brother. There's only two seats.
And Bill.
Yes.
Michael from Roeville.
Mickey boy.
Yeah, given that you had to explain
his call. Just explain,
after
Mick.
He explained it.
What the wishing well is.
It's a little box or a cage or something that you put money in when you go to a wedding instead of actually getting gifts.
And you got one.
Yes.
That's it, Bill.
Why didn't you say that?
Oh! can't, seriously.
Vixen tickets prelim final. It's a big game. They've got to beat the Giants, go through the grand final, Jim.
Thank you very much, guys.
Well, all right, man. I was on a rant there, but you just cut me off.
Oh, no.
All right, let's have
right,
let's regroup.
A little better second hour from you, Fat, I reckon, is what we could probably hope for.
I actually have been good.
Have you?
Yeah. You two have been shit.
Social media, massive part of our show. The family give us feedback on what they think of the first hour, and none
all
of
it's good, Jim.
Pretty much ever complimentary. We pick out sometimes the top three, sometimes the top five. The prize is always amazing, Leroy.
Yep, we've got the Tradie Underwear Ultimate Toolbox Tradie Pack.
And I can see some I like already. Nick Hill, is he going to get in there?
He's very good, Nick Hill. He's always, I'm just trying to find a... Here it is, all race right. five, Jim. Someone's told us that Billy's Bake is a good dog too, running around tonight. A Sandown Park, race 5, number 4. Billy's Bake, get on, Jim.
Righto.
But not responsibly.
Nick says, nick of time, of course. If Lunch's Brownless doesn't lift his game, you'll have to sub him at halftime. Come on, Fat, it's not that hard.
Dylan says, I still don't know what Michael got as a gift. Thanks for the explanation, Fat. Good on you, Dills.
Mick says, Bill, you're dead set in career worst form. Hashtag incompetent.
Actually said career worst or best.
No,
read it out properly.
I just read the word.
Yeah,
that's what I did, Bill.
Big tanker,
yes.
Hipworth or Hipworth, Fatty? Actually, Hipwood or Hipworth, Fatty? You've been on the frothies. No, I haven't, Big Tanker.
Yes.
There's two more, Jim, that we like, by the way, but our winner.
Oh, go on.
Agent Chaos has been on fire too. But our winner, I like this one, from Brad Duncan.
What Bradford have to say?
Dunks 021.
Yes.
Tell Bill that the Warriors were leading for the whole first half. Because I said the Warriors, Jim, only at the front
you
with 40.
The Cavaliers are in front all day.
I did. That's right. I
hashtag
said the Cavs
get your facts right, Bill.
Come on, Bill.
So Brad,
well
Duncan.
Done, Brad.
Nice.
What's he won?
The tradie pack.
Yep. Good work, Brad. Well done to you. Yes.
Nicely
Jim,
done.
Did you know that the Cavs weren't?
No. Well, I was playing golf today, Bill. Yeah. I didn't see any of that match, but I did predict that they were. It was going to be a clean sweep, and I think it still will.
Who we got, Bridgie?
The top flight not far away. Also, I understand that you had an interesting encounter with someone.
Oh,
I want to hear about this.
I'm nearly going to give up.
And now, Bill.
Yep.
I read here with great interest. I know you've got a couple of stories you want to go with, but Aussie tennis star Kokkinakis.
Cocker.
Thanasi Kokkinakis is battling Kellogg's over the right to officially call himself Special K.
Well, I have heard him called Special
Bill,
K before. And Kyrgios too, by the way.
I reckon, Bill, you'd want to win something first, wouldn't you, before you branded yourself Special K.
So what if Kellogg's have come out and said what? Kellogg's have come out and said what, Jim? Jeez. Kellogg's have come out and
said
what?
The $34 billion cereal company first lodged documents against the tennis star 17 months ago. They're looking to block the 21-year-old from branding his clothing and tennis wear after he attempted to trademark the Kokkinakis Special K.
He's a serial offender, Jim.
Oh, no.
Well,
you
not...
can't go with that, Bill.
He is.
You can't go with
that. He's done it before. He's
a hearing will take place in Adelaide today. Bill, I reckon you'd want to just win something.
Yeah.
Before you call yourself Special K.
Special Cock.
Maybe just a tournament win somewhere. Right. Preferably a major, but just something.
Or something, Jim. Bill. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there.
All right.
But, hey, do you know there's a World Cup qualifier in the soccer tonight?
Qualifier. Bill, this might be
a
the
World
worst
Cup qualifier, I said, Jim. Soccer is taking on Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
A big game tonight.
A big game.
They've got to win, Jim. It's in Adelaide tonight. They'll get a huge crowd
there. They will.
At Adelaide Oval tonight. So there's a bit going on, my friend, I'm telling you.
Right.
And also, the ins for Sydney. Did you see that? Jack's back and Naismith. Do you know who's been dropped? Tippett. We spoke about that earlier. Well, about time. He was terrible, mate.
No good. And going to persist down tonight, they say.
Yes, and Florent. In for the Western Bulldogs, Boyd, Cloak, Roberts, McLean.
Which Boyd?
M. Boyd,
yeah,
our boy.
Boyd, yep.
Out, Robert Murphy. Dale Morris.
Yes.
What's happened to old Murray?
Not sure.
Ankle. Tom Boyd back and B. Williams. So a lot of changes that we spoke about before. So no, that's all I'm telling
you. All right, what we're going to do? We'll get Bridge in and see if we can get some momentum going through the hour.
I doubt it, Jim.
Triple M royalty back with us, Bridget Duclos.
Oh, the top flight. I'm just telling you that I am, that makes me a top flight father.
What?
Doesn't it? If I go camping with the kids in the holiday, that makes me a top flight pilot.
I can't believe you're going camping. I didn't think you knew what camping was.
No, never.
Actual camping in a tent.
Actual camping in one of those.
Will you dig a hole?
One of those trailer tent jobs.
Oh, no.
What are they called?
A camper trailer.
Oh, where the thing pops up.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
So not a cabin.
No, and then, no, you've got it, you tow it behind your car.
Is it on wheels?
It's on wheels. Yeah. A top flight. You know this isn't in my sweet spot at all. No man is a greater nuffy when it comes to any of that.
Oh, my God.
So that makes me a top flight
pilot. You are going to have the worst time.
And it'll be freezing, Jim. It'll be bloody cold.
The kids have asked to camp.
Do you know we camped every Easter when I was a kid and in the freezing cold? I can't remember where we went. But I remember that all I remember about the camping was how bloody cold it was. But take newspaper.
Oh, well.
Not to read the top flight. To light. Not to wipe the old. Why would you use newspaper?
Well, some do.
We're doing it on the cheap.
Which section would you use?
Oh, there's a few.
Yeah, let's start with.
A few that spring to mind.
But no, to put on your little camp bed.
Oh, yes.
So don't sleep on the floor. Oh. Have a little camp bed, then put newspaper, and that's called insulation.
Is it?
Mm.
Oh, yes. Look at you go.
There
now,
I
listen,
am.
Fresh back from the United Kingdom and
no
looking
camping
like
where
fresh.
I went. Yeah, oh, no, I'm not fresh. I'm a bit jet lagged. But look, I went over. I think I told you to my sister's wedding.
You were you were MC.
Well, I was the speech maker.
Nice. You told us you were MC, I reckon.
No, I told you that I was doing the speech and you helped me.
Nice. Yes. Oh, did you use any of the New Zealand stuff?
No, I didn't, Bill.
Why not?
Because I looked at the crowd and I thought, I don't know if your sheep jokes are quite appropriate.
I hope
here.
You are enjoying the lamb today.
No, I didn't
that
do any of
that.
That
was just a nice little subtle one.
Yeah, it was so subtle. They serve fish for that very reason.
How did it go?
No fish jokes. Oh. Well, I'll tell you what happened top flight and you'll understand this. You both will, everyone will, who's ever had to do a speech. Mm-hmm. The guy that got up before me. So they had, there was one man, me, and then the bride and groom speaking. Nice. No MC. It was very, you know, they're old.
Casual.
Yeah, informal. Well, yeah.
Which is how they do their weddings. They're nowhere near as structured as ours.
No, none of that rubbish. No. Anyway, the guy that got up was a banker. So I thought he'll be terrible.
Yes.
You know, he's just used to saying, you know, what's that thing called, the Dow Jones?
CPI.
That's it. CPI. What does that mean? I've never known.
Consumer Price Index.
Yeah, that's it, him, yes. I thought he'll be so boring that I've just got this thing sorted. Anyway, and he had a hat on. I thought that's weird.
Oh, man.
Anyway, he got up. His name was James. And he absolutely killed it.
Slayed him.
The best speech I've ever heard. Oh. He had them rolling in the aisles.
Oh, no.
He had them up. I can't even, think of the best speech you've ever heard and double it. That was him. Oh. So I'm sitting there, I was just shrinking.
No.
And I tapped my new brother-in-law on the bloody hand. I said, how could you? What have you done? Yeah. You don't bring the lozzie over to deal with this.
That's it.
You had to start well.
I had to start well. Yes. And I had to start with, I had to have confidence.
Bounce.
I had
it.
To have punch.
Yes, you did. Yes.
And I had to have something I don't have. Yeah. So I got up and I killed it. I might not have killed it. I think I think they were really nice English people who thought, oh, there she is. She's a little sister. No, it actually went quite well because I told very basic. I'm a basic type person, the top flight, as you know.
Yes.
So I didn't do sheep jokes, but I told quite basic-y ones.
Like?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, have you got a speech? We tried to find some audio, by the way.
Oh, yeah, because it's been on YouTube. Yeah. No, there is audio, but I haven't got it yet, but I'm not going to. I know what you're up to, and I'm not falling into your trap because I know what you're trying to do is get me to read some, and it won't work.
Why?
Because you won't hear the laughter.
Oh, right.
The galuffing.
We got canned laughter, have we?
Canned laughter. Yeah. Guffawing. Yes. Guffawing, galuffing.
So. Yeah. But it went well. How long did you talk for?
Oh, about 2 hours.
Well, you just went on and on.
Well, once the clap started, I just kept going. I thought, bugger the bride.
Had you had
moment.
A tipple prior?
I had a tipple because someone suggested that I should have a quick little shot.
Loosener.
I call it a loosener. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yep. So I had a loosener.
Yes.
And then I had another loosener, and then I felt loose.
Yes.
And I must admit, once you know what it's like. It's all the beginning, and if you get going,
that's
all right. But I kept it very basic. But
like what? I want to hear something.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
Didn't take long.
No,
that's it.
What just happens?
Us.
I've got to hear it. All right. So can you get out the canned laughter for me, Roy? Because it won't work without it. Or if you've got real laughter, better still.
Hopefully he doesn't have to hit the button.
So.
Oh, mate.
Oh, right.
You've had a good show.
What I've had to put up with today.
Okay, well, this might help. So,
yes.
I've told how he came to Australia and met our family.
Yes.
Now I'm going how Danny has to go and meet the family. I won't say the name because it probably might be embarrassing for someone. And I said she had to go to his family farm in New Zealand, right? So I said, are you ready, Bill?
Yes.
Get
I'm writing it down.
Have you got the stitch up those sides?
Yes.
I said Danny had never been to a farm. As long as the meat on her table is preservative-free and expensive, she feels no need to investigate further.
No!
Oh, come on. That was like a golf clap.
It's a murmuring.
Then I said...
Oh, she's on a roll.
And yes. There was no coffee shop anywhere near because it was 100 miles from Auckland.
Oh.
But then I said, well aware of this, David... didn't want her, so he went and did a four-day barista course, which he did. So he could serve her with a macchiato with a twist every morning.
Oh, well, that's good
husband.
It was a lot louder than that. Yeah. Just to point out. It was a lot louder and a lot heartier.
Yeah.
And a lot sort of, Anyway, it went on. I could keep going.
Yes.
However, the night came to an end and I was sort of accepting congratulations.
You
forgetting
were.
That I actually wasn't the bride. Oh, thank you, really. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
And I thought someone here, one of these rich English people might offer me a job.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
Did that happen?
Like. Well, I took home a few cards.
Oh, of course you did. You do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's just standard for me, a night out. Took home a few cards.
Any rich English blokes?
I've been home 4 days. So far, the phone hasn't rung.
No.
I haven't seen an email. I haven't seen anything that even vaguely looks like a job offer.
No.
Not even a, do you want to just come over and have a night out?
No.
So I don't think I have got myself a job in the UK.
No. Well,
but I don't think
it's find you one here.
Well, yes.
A wedding presenter.
A wedding. I could be a wedding, like Adam Sandler in the Wedding Singer.
Yeah, that's you. Just go along and
do people
get,
do that?
Get the names right.
You have a friend, don't you? You don't have a stranger.
No, it is very daunting public speaking anyway, but especially when you get up after someone who slays it.
And Piers, I reckon it's worse when you're looking because it's a beautiful restaurant, but it had sort of two Viking type setup, long tables, and I was like, they're literally this close.
Yep.
And some of them were very very nice, but hoity-toity.
Hoity.
There was a bit of hoit and a bit of toit.
Real sort of British wanker.
And I hated my dress. I wasn't happy in my dress because my arms looked fat.
Oh, no.
So there was all this stuff going on, you know.
But then you killed it. That's
but then
good.
I got through it. And I'm still waiting. I'm not going to give up. There's still a chance. A lord.
Really?
A lord.
Might have just taken a liking to
you. What else do they have over there? A baron?
Like that guy at a four weddings and a funeral. Who no one knew was worth $18 billion.
Yeah.
Him or like the Downton Abbey guy?
Yes.
He'd do.
You'll latch on to one of them.
Yeah, I'll
You've got jet lag. We need to talk about how you get rid of that next.
The wonderful Bridget DeClos.
And a bit of jet lag for you, the top flight, which is always seeming the way when you come from London. If you come from New York, why don't you get any?
I don't know.
It's the east-west thing.
Going over there, I was absolutely fine. Coming home.
Yep.
And I've never had jet lag like this before. And I was talking to a couple of people about it. And they said they've found it too for some reason. Mm. Now, here's the theory, right? I do what I want on a plane.
Yes.
Well, I do what I damn well like.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean I eat and drink everything I can get my hands on because it is so boring.
Hmm.
And I watch every film and I sleep, but I just do everything. And my sister, the one who got married, said to me, now, this is what you've got to do to not get jet lag. She said, you don't have anything to eat or drink. You fast.
Oh, no chance.
For the whole 24 hours.
No chance.
So I sent her a photo of me on the plane with a lemon tartar cheese plate.
That's it.
And four different red ones. Just for the fun of it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's just so bloody boring.
Well, not only that, but it's one of the great long lunches you can ever have.
Yes.
You can't go anywhere.
You can't go anywhere.
You might as well just sit there and say, keep bringing it.
That's it. That's it. And I was wondering whether it's because I had too many drinks.
You didn't fast.
That I am suffering so badly because I don't think I've slept a wink since.
I had a nightmare coming back from the UK in October. My mates who are coaching cricket, Darren Lehman, he swears that you've got to have a big night as soon as you get back.
Why?
Well, because he said otherwise you're a week. You won't recover for a week.
So even if you get home at 9 o'clock at night, you just get right on it.
He said you've just got to get straight on it. And he said if have a big night. And he said it busts you through.
Is he related to Booney? Because seriously,
very similar setup.
Because then you'd sleep well.
Well, that's what they say. Yeah. You sleep well. You're a bit crooked the next day, but it gets you through that first horrendous night of jet lag, and then you're okay.
Well, I would love to know. I don't know what the secret to it is because I want to know why it's bad this way.
I don't know. London's always, but the UK, United States, nowhere near as bad.
Someone would know out there, Jim. 1-3-3-5-3.
I would love to know. My poor mum, so she went from London over to New York to see her brothers. She had a brother who's a jazz musician in New York.
Nice.
Anyway, she was on her own, which at 78 is quite a big deal.
And daunting.
It was, I don't know whether you heard back in Australia, but BA closed down for that's had some computer problem. Every flight out of Heathrow is closed. So mum's stuck at the airport, can't work her phone.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, sometimes, she's old. Sometimes they just can't deal with, you know, texts and stuff.
Yes.
And so she's stuck out at the airport for hours, hours on end. And she went AWOL. We couldn't, no one could find her.
Oh, no.
We didn't know where she was.
Oh,
it was like a nightmare. So her jet lag
was there any
was even worse. Yes.
Trouble over in London while you were there?
Manchester happened while we were there, which was really just horrific, as you know. And then London Bridge happened as we were flying home that night. But you know what? I look, it's awful, isn't it? But I just think, it's just, you got to get on with life. You can't.
Oh, yeah, body, you do.
I've got a friend going over tonight and I just said, she's worried about going to the bridge. I said, give it a whack.
Yep.
You've got to. You do. You've got to. You just can't, you can't stop, can you?
No, no. Can't let them be.
Well, otherwise you'll second guess, everything you do in the rest of your life and then you'll have no fun.
The Ariana Grande thing. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That upset me because it's kids. Yeah. They're kids. You know, you don't do that.
Well, no, mum and dads were there to pick them up and things like that.
Oh, shocking business.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, if anyone, terrorism, I'd love a cure for that, but I don't think anyone would have the answer to that. But jet lag while we're on it.
Well, and the shame of that happening in the United Kingdom and London is that it is one of the great cities of the world, London. You can have so much fun in that place. Yeah. It is, and the Londoners are wonderful.
Well, we were on the tube actually one morning, mum and I, and they evacuated us. It was just after Manchester.
Yeah. Yep.
You can imagine. And everyone went mad. You know how low you can be so far down on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a bit of a, it was actually quite terrifying.
Yes. How was the security at the airport? Beefed up?
Yeah, beefed up. Yeah, pretty bad. Well, I reckon Australia's got just about the best security. Yeah. I reckon we're good.
Yeah.
We're really good.
What about the pubs? How good?
Yeah.
In you go, and there's no
and
reason to leave.
Out.
Exactly right. Stay as long as you like.
It's a little bit like being on a plane.
It is. You just sidle
under the
bar.
Food's a lot better.
Lunch you'll ever have. Yeah.
And you just end up, well, I've had that one, may as well have another.
Oh, it's just great, isn't it? The whole thing's great. I think it's grass is greater, though.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, they come here and say you actually... Yeah. So I always think you just got to, you do have to appreciate where you are.
They don't have the beaches and they don't have the weather, but they do pubs well.
They do pubs well. And I like someone that does pubs well.
No, I agree.
It's one of my favourite things.
Stand out the front there and chug along.
They're spilling out.
Exactly.
They're spilling. They're actually, and there's no rules about you can't sit here or stand here.
No, out
we're
the street.
We're not allowed to even bloody well cross the road with
do
a
beer. Whatever, do whatever the hell you like. Yes. Oh, I totally agree. Top Flight, great catching up with you. Thanks for dropping by. I'm very pleased your speech was a success.
All right, well, I'll bring in the audio next week.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the audio.
This will keep going.
I'd love to hear the audio.
Keep going for days and days and days.
No, we will do that. Good to see you. Thanks
for
dropping
by. See you, Bill.
Good on you, Bridge.
Big game of footy, Thursday night football, of course. The Western Bulldogs travel to Sydney to take on the Swans.
SCG,
and,
Jimmy.
The SCG, it's been persisting down with rain, as we understand it, for the last two or three days up there in the Harbour City. And one of their finest, Jude Bolton, joins us. Jude, welcome.
G'day, JB. How are you, mate?
Hey, looking forward to your work tonight, of course, on the coverage. But tell us about the Swans. Well, firstly, tell us about the weather, because we hear it's been raining, but you live there. What's going on?
Yeah, well, it's had a month's worth of rain in the last day or so. So it's had 150 mils since yesterday. I think it averages about 137 for the month of June. So it's been pretty torrential.
It's going to be heavy, of course, and the SCG still has the square area in the front, unless that's moved.
The wicket? Got the wicket there?
Yeah, still got the wicket there. It's a cricket ground. They don't like pulling up the
trip. Players are going to be sliding around all over the place.
But I think it drains pretty well. It's got good drainage there, Jude, hasn't it?
It does, Bill. Yeah, it is an elite ground in that sense. They it does drain really well. So I don't know. I expect it pretty tough contest, though. They'll both be cracking in.
Well, no idea what you're going to get from the Swans has been the issue. And, Jude, in your playing time, that was what we always knew was what you'd get from the Swans. But at the moment, you switch on and you've got no idea.
Yeah, it's been a really inconsistent year. And certainly, I mean, they have blooded a number of young guys through this year, but it's been disappointing the way they obviously started. The last month of footy's been better, but the way they sort of fell over against Hawthorn, it was pretty disappointing.
Yes, it was indeed. And Tippett, mate, finally had enough of him. He's been disappointed.
Yeah, he hasn't. He hasn't fired, to be honest. No. And you know, it's probably been a cause of frustration for many Swans fans and the footy public and that sort of stuff. But certainly, they bring Naismith back in, who's a very important player to them. And obviously Kieran Jack comes back into the side as well.
Yeah, Kieran Jack, good to see him back, Jimmy boy. Two premierships for Jude Bolton. Have you ever suffered any dramas with concussion? Because you had the head over the ball all the time. We're reading a lot about it at the minute. Has it affected you at all, Jude?
Nah, not too much, but I did have a few concussions along the way. It was, had two in one game back in the day, which wasn't great, but No, it's certainly a massive issue across all sporting bodies at the moment.
Hey, mate, yesterday, I don't know if the markets have changed, the Swans were $1.80 and the Bulldogs were $2. No. That cannot be still the case.
I don't know about that at all. But it's sort of, I think it's an even money sort of game that I'd certainly, the Swans certainly need to roll their sleeves up. They haven't done a great job at sort of putting enormous pressure on, which they've probably previously been known for that, and the Dogs are the number one tackling side in the competition. So it's condition suited for a tough physical game.
You made some changes to the Doggies again. Four changes is a lot, Judy.
Oh, I tell you what, Bevo, he's a razor gang. He just rips through them, as has done all year. But, you look at some of their ins, Cloak, Roberts and McLean come in. So, yeah, we'll see how they go.
And 1-4 at this venue, the Sydney Swans, this year. That is unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's no longer a fortress. It's for some reason they just have not turned up and played. And I guess if you look back, and they have had some critical injuries for some of the guys, like Dane Rampey is a really important player for them. He's obviously back in the lineup now, but it hasn't. Bevo as a coach has come up here and been successful every time.
And poor old horse, that forehead just gets longer and longer, and he gets madder and madder.
Well, it's certainly it's not a small head either. He could hardly fit a cap on his head, John Longmire. But it's been a bit frustrating for him. I think it's been a very tough year. And I think having got a number of those younger players, a lot of game time in them, they'll bounce back pretty quickly. And this is obviously the last roll of the dice in any sense for this season.
No, they must win tonight, the Swans, if they're going to get anywhere near it in the back half. Jude, we appreciate you jumping on. Look forward to seeing you tonight. Thanks for that.
Pleasure, JB.
Cheers, Jude Bolton, absolute all-timer. 300 plus games, two-time premiership star.
325.
Just, amazing, isn't it?
Good player.
Real good player.
And he's on Channel 7, of course. Yep. Triple M tonight. Barry Denner's going up
the
there.
The
People's Caller. Brad Seymour.
Yes.
Mark Stevens is there.
Luffy. Pudding Guts. Luffy. Oh, it'll be a nice team giving
Liam
you...
Liam Flanagan.
Nice team getting you that game drawn and quartered.
Oh, Bill. Dasher Flanagan.
We need...
What's he doing up there, Big Dasher?
We need to get to a break. Have you got anything that's even remotely humorous?
Two little fillities today.
What are those?
Little fillities.
Oh, no. Bill, this might be, and I know I've said this regularly, this could be your absolute worst.
Jim, someone on Twitter says, is it me or does Bill have a lisp?
I don't know.
A lisp.
Not only a lisp, but your inability to complete a word you start is the stuff of legend.
I know. I need some froffies.
Do you? Is that what it is?
I've been off them for a couple of days, Jim. I need a couple.
That's cost you, do you reckon?
No,
oh, no. Do you want your youngster, and when I say that I mean boy or girl, of course, to run through the banner with the North Melbourne football team?
A mascot.
Friday the 16th, that's Friday week, of course, against the Saints.
Big game.
All you have to do is enter triplem.com.au, 25 words or less, tell us why your young girl or boy should have the great honour of going with Jack Zeeble up the race bill, out onto Etihad Stadium,
good.
Through the banner. If you're a rusted on Kanga and you're a young person, there can be nothing better than that. We thank Spirit of Tasmania, by the way.
Oh, very good, Jim.
Amazing people, Bill.
Why don't you book your next holiday with the Spirit of Tasmania, Jim?
Well,
put the car on the boat.
I've done it three times. It's
Cross
gold.
To Tassie, drive down to Hobart, have a look at the...
Mona. Beautiful
Mona.
Art gallery's unbelievable.
The wall.
They call it a ship, Bill. They're very particular about
Sorry,
that, too.
Sorry, it's a ship. Okay.
Yeah, so, mate, but you do.
Yeah.
6:30, Bill. You have a sleep overnight, 6:30. Yeah. The alarm sounds. You go down to your chariot,
Beautiful.
Drive it off, and that magnificent island is all yours.
All yours, Jimmy boy.
So do that with the Spirit of Tasmania, by the way. But get on to triplem.com.au. If you've got a young girl or boy who would love to run out with the Kangas, it could be all yours. Just
tough
one of those
day.
Days it has, Bill.
Jim.
And you haven't even been to a lunch.
I know, and it's been a tough day. I've had enough, as I said before. I've nearly had enough of you two, though.
You?
Incompetent. Yes, that's what you are. Both of you can get stuck.
Incompetent.
Yep. Especially you, Jim, with your silly suggestions and old buttons over here. Fair nicum.
Give us some more.
So I've had enough. So, again, it comes back to me to finish the show well.
Well, before we get to that, you're in Adelaide tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
So you will speak to you from the Adelaide Oval, my ground, place I put on the map. Brian Taylor.
I'm going to try and find.
Sir Donald Bradman and myself.
Oh, I sent you a photo of your good self there when you won a Sheffield Shield.
No doubt about it, Bill.
You're in the background.
They'd be everywhere. Brian, BT's going to be joining us as well.
Brian.
And stick around tonight, of course, the Western Bulldogs and the Sydney Swans. Barry Denner, a fine, fine football caller, the people's caller.
Liam Flanagan.
He's going to look after things up there with a great team, so make sure you stick around Dogs
Luffy.
And the Swans.
I'm still on, Spud.
Bill. Thank you, Bill. Just see if you can give us something that's remotely humorous now.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Two little jokes for you, Jim, to skip away with tonight.
Two.
Why did the physics teacher break up with the biology teacher?
Why?
Because there was no chemistry. Bang! Bang!
So the second one?
That's out of the Herald Sun, too.
Is it? You stole it out of the Herald Sun.
Yes, thank you, Herald
Sun. There we are, Bill. That's where you're operating.
Another little one, Jimmy, for you.
Go on.
Why can't Stevie Wonder see his friends at the pub, Jim?
Why?
Because he's married. You thought I was going down a different channel.
Yeah, because he's blind.
No,
but it's not, because he's married.
He's married, and his wife won't let him go down and see his mates.
Because that used to be the old one. Have you seen Stevie Wonder's new missus?
No.
Neither has
he. Oh, Jim.
Bill.
Oh, Jim with a couple of bangers.
Bill.
Yes.
It's time for you. This is what I want you to do.
What?
Go home, get a nice warm cup of tea.
No chance tonight.
And Bill.
No chance.
Get a nice early night and prepare for tomorrow.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
What?
Go to the bot and have 15 pints. It's steak night at the bot, Jim. Steak night. Woo!
Neither has he.
I've nearly had enough of you two. Incompetent. Both of you can get stuck.
Incompetent.
That was the Rush Hour catch-up.
Have a spell, Bill.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.